Welcome to a new episode of Operation Gundog. We hope you enjoy it.
Back.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Yukonuba Sporting Dog. If you want to get everything your dog's got, you need nutrition that holds nothing back. To help unleash your dog's maximum potential, check out the new Yukonuba Premium Performance Lineup at yukonubasportingdog.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Operation Gundog Podcast, stepping into episode number 22, where we will be talking about some really cool stuff. We're going to talk about our recent hunts and going into transitioning out of hunting season. So with that, we're going to dive off into some updates. Dominic, why don't you give us some updates from the last time that we spoke? Let's talk about your, I know you had a pretty cool hunting trip this past weekend with Sailor, and I know you came across a pretty big old goose. Saw pictures on the Facebook and on the Instagram. Tell me about that.
Yep. So, man, it's been a while since we did some updates. We've gone out every single weekend of third split, I believe. I don't think we've missed a weekend yet. She's been doing good. She's definitely tuned in. She knows what she's there for. And this past weekend, I went out with a buddy. He messaged me on Friday. I was like, hey, you want to go try this one spot of mine? I got on a public land, and it's been showing some good ducks here recently. And I was like, yeah, sure. And so he brought his little boy with him. He's 4 years old, and it was only his second hunting trip. The first one, I don't think they got to pull the trigger on anything. And that one, you know, we got to see a whole bunch of nice volleys of birds flying. Only had a pair come within shooting distance, and both of us missed those. But probably right around 8 o'clock or so, we had a pair of geese come in, and we were able to, you know, take a shot on one of those. And I was on a different side of the pond. Sailor didn't get to see the one that fell, and so we got to run her first blind retrieve in the field. So I brought her back over to where they were, about where that goose had fallen, about 10, 15 yards away, and was able to kind of practice a lining drill out in the field with her. She's used to, you know, running to a white pole in the yard, and we're starting to incorporate, you know, different patterns, getting into T pattern and pattern blinds, things like that. And so it was nice to kind of solidify some things with her, where, you know, I sent her on a line. She took two whistles to get back there and saw the goose. So she realized, oh, yeah, you know, connect the dots, dead bird back means there's really something out there. And, she kind of looked at it a little sideways with the goose. It was still crippled, so it was flapping around, but she was loving it. She was trying to pick it up, but, you know, big old heavy goose, and wasn't able to, you know, pick it up quite as easily as she does a duck or a bumper. But, you know, we kind of turned to attrition first and kind of encouraged her to pick it up and kind of made it a positive thing. And eventually, you know, letting her work it out a little bit, kind of getting the pieces together, but not understanding the whole haste behind it. You know, we turned to, you know, go back to our roots with force fetch. And, you know, there's a fetch command and then a fetch command followed by stimulation. And that, you know, put all the pieces of the puzzle together to where she picked up the goose and dragged it on back to me. And she did pretty good with it. I was able to get a video of me sending her, a video of her dragging this goose back to me. And you know, she was enjoying it. She loved getting to mess around with that goose. And it's pretty exciting to watch that little poodle drag a big old goose back to me.
Awesome. So what'd you do with the goose, man? Did you get to cook it, or are you using it for training? Or
so we breasted it out. So I got I got some goose breasts and a food saver bag in my freezer right now, and I'm trying to find just the right recipe to cook it because I've actually never prepared goose, and I've heard a few things about it. So anybody listening, if you got the best goose recipe, shoot them over to me. But yeah, the ultimate plan for me is to find a way now that I've had that goose breasted out to get her to start working on it since it's lost a little bit of that weight there and still has that size, that awkwardness, the feathers, to get her a little bit more used to picking those up. But we'll see how that incorporates into training.
Awesome, man. I actually had some goose jerky this past weekend on my little hunt excursion. It was really good. I'd have to see if I can hunt down that recipe for you. I don't have any goose recipes in particular. I don't know how, different it would be, in like if you were to swap it out in like a duck recipe that I have, but I do have some really good recipes for that.
I do wish I had a dehydrator because it seems like goose jerky is the best way to go. But I'm sure somebody out there has got a great recipe for goose. You have a really good recipe for merganser, don't you?
I have a coot recipe.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You want to
Yeah.
share that with our listeners?
Yeah. So, best way to cook coot is over an open flame, like a, campfire. Basically, you need to find a stick. Put the coot directly, clean it, put it directly on the stick, cook it over the fire whilst on the stick. And then you take the coot off and you eat the stick. And that's the best way to eat it. Anyways, that being said, I didn't have a great coot season this year, like last year, but I did get on some ducks this past weekend, which was really nice. Did have to go all the way to Oklahoma for it. The season down here in South Louisiana hasn't been wonderful. I also did a couple hunts up in North Louisiana as well. Really wasn't great either. Teal season was decent, but other than that, Louisiana's been not that great this year, just like it hadn't really been the past few seasons. I will say this, I don't know how much of a secret it is, but Oklahoma is still doing pretty well as far as duck season goes. You just see a lot more ducks in the sky just driving around. There's more birds in the area, that's for sure. A lot of ducks, a lot of geese out there. So that being said, we did get put on some ducks. Took my crew. Bonnie got to get on some ducks Saturday and Sunday. She broke ice for the first time. That's not even something that we've done in training because it never freezes down here. But she did well with it. She did figure out pretty quick, like, hey, I can't, haul butt like I normally do. I can't run on ice, but she figured that out pretty quick. The most memorable retrieve, from Saturday's hunt was an 80-yard blind across the pond. So the pond that we were hunting on, we had a duck land on the other side. Which she didn't see go down. It was one of those times where there were a lot of birds and a lot of shots, and we knew one was back there, and I could see it on the other side of the pond. So I, after she had picked up the ducks that she saw go down, she got sent on that one and pretty much crushed it. I was really super proud of her. I think I had to cast her three or four times, and she took every cast and she pushed back far, which for a young dog, that back cast on the long water blind, she's still kind of getting used to that, pushing to the longer distances across water. But she trusted me and she took her casts and came back with a duck. Didn't cheat on the way back, Nice straight lines, big entry, typical Bonnie style. I think she won a few fans on that one. She did run one other blind that morning. I think she picked up a total of 7 on Saturday. We were kind of doing taking turns with a couple of other dogs. We let them all get a fair share as well. Don't want to be, you know, that guy who lets their dog pick up all the birds. That's about it for Saturday's hunt. On Sunday, she picked up 5 birds, and you know, in addition to the other dogs that were out there. And her best, most memorable retrieve that day was a cripple that swam off into kind of a little pile of sticks or a bush that was in the middle of the pond. And so she had the cripple coupled with kind of just a different circumstance. Like, I've never sent her on a retrieve in a bush in the middle of the water. So when she got up to the bush, the duck is trying to get away from her in it. And she swam up kind of into the bush. So I know her legs are hitting it. I didn't exactly know how she would react to that swimming, but she worked through it. She kind of swam around the bush a little bit to where the duck was, and she scooped him up and came on back. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty much the highlight of that hunt. Other than that, it was nice to get together with those guys. And I will be doing a Texas hunt with the same guys 2 weeks from now. So the last weekend of January.
Is that the last weekend for duck season around that way?
I'm not sure about Texas, but I think in Oklahoma, where we just were, I want to say they get another weekend out there. I want to say they go through February the 8th. They have some, you know, different rules than we do. They can kill actually 8 Canadas per person. So I thought that was pretty different from most places I've been hunting.
Yeah, I know for us in North Carolina, third split goes out January 31st. I think goose goes out with it, but it might stick around because we do have an early goose season. Talking about that 8 goose per man limit, I want to say our early goose season is like 15 a person, but it sounds like you got some more exciting hunts coming up. I know me and Sailor this weekend, we're going to be just shy of the North Carolina Outer Banks. We're going to be hunting off of one of the sounds between the North Carolina coast and some of the Outer Banks. And typically, they say the North Carolina coast has some really good duck hunting. I've never hunted out that way, but I'm really hoping we can get into some ducks and really start to have a lot of fun with Sailor, because she's yet to have a splash bird, I think. Yeah, she hasn't gotten a splash bird yet, so I'd like for her to pick up, you know, at least a couple before the end of the season.
Right. So what kind of birds y'all expecting to be out there? Is that like sea ducks or what?
There might be some sea ducks. We're going to probably – so there might be pintails, ringnecks, canvasback, mallards, course the coveted coot. It could be a very mixed bag whatever happens to be flying. So we'll just have to get out there and we'll see what comes to the spread.
We had a very mixed bag in Oklahoma as well. So we had teal, some green wing teal, we had some mallards, we had some ringnecks, lots of gadwall, and I want to say we had a widgeon or two, at least one widgeon. So yeah, a little variety pack, which was nice.
Yeah, well, we'll probably have something similar, but then again, we might not see a single thing other than maybe a butterfly or two. We'll have to, you know, hopefully the weather pans out and we see a bunch of birds. I know I keep seeing videos that people post all the time on Facebook up north where, you know, there's still, you know, thousands of birds sitting on fields or in the water, or, you know, seeming to not want to migrate this year. So We'll see if they trickle down that Atlantic flyway.
Man, speaking of different kinds of birds, on that next hunt that we're going on in Texas end of the month, we do have a little upland type hunt planned as well, which is something very new and different for me. As I've mentioned on other episodes, we don't have much of an upland season at all down here in Louisiana, so that's going to be something new and different for us to kind of try out and change it up a little bit.
What are you guys targeting? Is it just like a field that they know of, a couple of covey of quail or something in it?
No, so this is going to be like a planted type,
Gotcha.
like a chukar hunt. So,
Mm-hmm.
yeah, so I've never hunted, my dogs have never seen chukar or any upland bird for that matter, unless you want to count dove, So they, we'll see how that goes. It'll be a little different.
I think Bonnie's gonna have a blast with that. Are you gonna bring the whole Bayou crew with her?
Man, so I last time around I brought Bonnie, Chief, Delta, and Enzo, which is pretty cool. So we had 12 total red dogs, goldens, at the our last hunt. We got together and we did some training and some hunting. Of course, not all the dogs got to hunt, but it was pretty cool to get them all together, and especially the puppies too, to throw some birds for them and just let them have a good time and socialize with the other dogs. That was a lot of fun. So it'll be similar this time. I think that I'm gonna figure out a way to bring the great white Arlo with me next time. So still kind of working out the logistics on that. He takes up a lot of space. You know what I mean? He's
How much does he weigh?
about 90 pounds and he's lean. I'm telling you, like he's fit. He's a fit 90 pounds. Like if he was with your typical, pet dog owner, he'd probably be 110 pounds easy, man.
Your typical pet dog owner.
Yeah, their dogs are typically a little fatter than ours, but I like to keep him lean and I like to keep him in a fighting weight,
Yeah,
keep him ready.
I got you. Yeah, Sailor's gotta have an extra 5 pounds of just fur on her right now. She's just a scruffy mess, man. I'm trying to get her on the books for grooming as soon as hunting season gets over. I figured I'd keep a nice little healthy layer of insulation on her through the season, especially when those first hunts we went on in third split, we broke some ice walking in, and by the time we sat down and waited for sunrise, I look over and she's just got icicles hanging from her beard. So
Right.
we'll let that scruffiness stick around, and once hunting season goes out, we'll probably trim her back down and
Man.
let her breathe.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of that, Bonnie's pretty lean right now too. I actually weighed her the other day, 49 pounds. So she's this probably the leanest she's been. She's just been working pretty hard here lately. She's eating about 5 cups a day, which is kind of a lot for her, but she's hungry and she's eating it. So it'll be nice to kind of transition maybe out of this hunting season and into a more regular training season, so don't have to up her food so much.
Wow, 5 cups a day.
5 cups, yeah. She's typically, train and I watch her weight, but it's usually 3 to 4 cups, probably more times than not three, but she's we're just requiring a little bit more right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, Sailor would probably eat that if I gave it to her, but being that, the way the schedule and everything set up, she's been spending a lot of time crated, so not needing all those extra calories right now, unfortunately. I wish she did, and I wish she was getting trained enough to need them, but right now, not so much. But we'll probably be gearing up here in the near future, and she'll probably have to get a couple of extra kibble in her bowl.
Right on. So you know, speaking about transitioning, one of our biggest, you know, pieces of this episode we wanted to talk about was transitioning out of hunting season. And with all good things, they must come to an end. And that being the end of hunting season, coming up shortly, you know, for us, and I know, you know, people in other parts of the country might have already hunted their last hunt. Season might be over, or will be in the very near future. So with you, what plans do you have for transitioning out of hunting season and into, say, hunt test season or maintenance type season?
I think the ultimate goal that we've set for this coming year is going to be get a started title and start running season. So to get us in position to achieve those goals, we're going to be, you know, really dialing in on running blinds and training, training through some blinds. So we kind of touched on it with the season when it started approaching, started introducing the concepts and everything to her, start getting her, you know, really working on pile work in the yard, and to the point where I have a usable back I can send her on in a hunting situation. And luckily I did, because it came into play this past weekend. So as we start to transition out of hunting season, we're gonna, you know, really dial in on blinds. I'd like to show her some more marks too, but that's really going to be one of the biggest goals for us. And to kind of achieve that, we're going to probably be paying quite a few visits to our local baseball field to try to nail down some pattern blinds and kind of finish up and tie up all the loose ends to what we've kind of had to stop and start again and then pause and then get back to, because every week has been abbreviated by a hunting trip. So it's definitely seemed to be a little bit slower to train things along with my current work schedule. So we're going to kind of focus on those things exiting out of hunting season. What about for you?
That's a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff to think about. And, you know, I'm kind of in a similar boat transitioning into a hunt test season. So actually, you know, within the next 2 weeks, but kind of leading up into our last hunt of the year, I do plan on just sitting down and mapping it all out. What, you know, tests we want to run in for the year, and what do we need to work on specifically, you know, for each test, break it down, you know, goals, training goals. I plan on dipping back into some resources. I need to kind of refresh some things. So, you know, Bonnie's been pretty well maintained this season, because as I mentioned in a previous episode, when she's not hunting, she is with my pro buddy that I train with quite a bit. So, you know, kind of she hasn't really, you know, fallen back or taken a step back through hunting season, because she's been maintained through the week. You know, as I mentioned before, I moved a couple of months ago, and as I was settling in and with working full time and it getting dark early, it's hard to give her what she needs as far as training goes. And the last thing I wanted for her this winter, with such big plans, you know, for the 2021 hunt test season, I didn't really want to lose any ground, because she was in a pretty good spot going into hunting season. So who she's training with right now, his name's Lewis West. Great guy. He's a great trainer, AKC guy. So, which I haven't run any AKC tests, and really my plans for her for next season were to run her in finished. That being said, he asked me if he could run her in a senior test in February, which our hunt test season down here really doesn't start up until March. April is like the, you know, the big couple of months for the spring hunt test. So I told him I thought that that'd be a great idea and a kind of a good transition, into hunt test season. So it's looking like we're going to sign her up for that. And he's going to actually run her. A week later, he's mentioned maybe running her in a derby. She prior to going to him, what she really went to him at the beginning of December. So it's been about a month and a half now. Really hasn't run any kind of like derby marks or anything like that. I didn't really stretch her out beyond like 100, 120 yards. But he's kind of been running some of that type stuff with her. So he's mentioned maybe running her in a derby that following weekend in February. So that might be the first two cracks she gets to take at, hunt test field trials for this year. After that, she should be, coming back to me and hopefully running some season tests. For my other big dogs, Chief and Arlo, I've worked them less just because of less time for training, but I do have some goals coming up for them as well, and just mapping it all out as far as training and hunt tests go. And then I got my puppies too. So I mean, they're kind of they were both born in August, so they're on a similar track, I guess, as to what Bonnie had last year, because she was born in August of last year. So I kind of plan on, running started with those guys and hopefully running season by the fall with them, just like I did with Bonnie.
Nice. Now, were there any things that you noticed with Bonnie or Chief hunting this past weekend that said, okay, maybe Chief has been a little too loose, maybe we need to tighten down to some different places, or were they just A-okay, good to go, and didn't cheat banks or anything like that?
No, they didn't cheat at all. I didn't get to work Chief a whole lot. I'm more, Bonnie was kind of the main drag on this trip. I do plan on getting Chief in on a little more action next week. I did or the next hunt, but I did break him out after that big cold water 80-yard retrieve. She spent so much time in the water that morning. She had icicles on her by the time we were I was putting her up in the box, and I got Chief out for one retrieve. So that was kind of later in the hunt, and the birds weren't, dive bombing us still at that point. So but his little retrieve that he went on was like a splash bird and pretty easy, so I didn't really get to make much of an assessment with him, but it didn't, he didn't have any issues with that.
That's good. I definitely noticed with Sailor, the reoccurring theme for us has been building drive, building confidence, and not squashing either one of those two things through being too particular with how she does things. So, I wouldn't say we've ignored steadiness, but we haven't made steadiness a high priority. And typically she's a steady dog. Even in training, she doesn't break very much. It takes a lot of excitement to get her to start moving her feet. And I've noticed when there are birds flying by or shots taken, she does take a couple of steps. She starts to lurch forward a little bit in anticipation of something, either dropping in her face or somewhere in her field of view. And so, that kind of brings to my attention that, because we haven't been focusing a lot on steadiness and we haven't been practicing at this level of excitement with poppers or with, blanks or even with, birds flying overhead and all this duck calling and everything going on. We need to kind of keep that in mind for, transitioning to season by the end of hunt test season, because started I can hold the collar and it shouldn't be a big issue, but we might need to start dialing into some more steadiness work here in the near future. So,
Yeah, absolutely. I
and
mean,
nobody likes a dog that breaks in on a hunt, so she hasn't been breaking, but she's not been very steady. So, with her wanting to creep up a little bit when we start shooting, we want to we want to eventually start to tune that back and to sand off those rough edges.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. You know, if you're talking about seasoned, you know, there's so many opportunities to break in addition to just running the doubles, you know. You got the diversion bird and you got the walk up, which I think if, you know, if a dog's going to break in that test, I think that walk up or the walk out, whichever you get, is a pretty good, you know, excitable bird that, you know, a dog could break on if they're not, you know, super steady. So, something definitely to work on.
For sure. And you know, being that these are some of her first hunts, if she's lurching forward, I'm not using that as an opportunity to correct in the field. I just, you know, some people might disagree with me, but I'm not going to use that as an opportunity to put pressure on her, because if she's getting that excited, I kind of want to nurture that just
I
a little bit.
mean,
Now, if she's breaking out into the field, maybe we need to start doing some things to tune that up a little bit, to pull her back in, because that's a safety issue. But I'm okay with her being a little excited, a little happy feet, little, you know, a couple steps forward.
well, I think, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about in this episode is, you know, maybe you have gotten to a point where you've let your dog get away with some stuff during hunting season, but now, you know, we're getting into test season and there's different standards and what might be okay in hunting season or, you know, what bad habits may have developed. You know, you gotta start thinking about, you know, competing or not competing, but testing to a standard and what they're gonna want to see in the test. And you know, I think about the dog Lola that I had for a couple months leading into hunt test season. She was a young dog. You know, she came to me right at 6 months, and at 8 months old, she's hunting and picked up like 300 birds this season. And you know, she's not steady anymore. You know, she was steady when she left, but that's a young dog that's just got to rock out all season and pick up a ton of birds by herself. She was the only dog out there. And you know, you can expect that you're gonna have some bad habits picked up, and you're gonna kind of have to go through that tune up. Maybe, you know, start off with just the obedience and get back into everything else that she's learned up to this point, and then into the new stuff, you know.
And you know, one thing I've noticed just watching videos on Facebook groups or talking to different people, you know, it seems like the two big things that people let their dog get away with during hunting season, because you know, it accomplishes the task of going out and picking up the birds, is one, steadiness, either breaking or creeping or you know, whatever extent they might be unsteady. And the other one is cheating. A lot of people, you know, I've watched a lot of dogs get away with cheating a bank on the way back or something like that. And I mean, when we talked to Matt Neal a couple of weeks ago, and he's talking about how strategic he is on letting a dog pick up birds in the field to not establish bad habits like that. I don't know if, you know, many of us as hunters or dog trainers are that cerebral when it comes to, you know, you just drop two wood ducks right in front of you and you're just super excited to let your dog go pick them up and bring them back. You know,
Right.
you don't care so much about cheating the bank, or if there's a point right there, they hit that point, then get back in the water. You want them to go out and do the thing that you've been training them to do.
Hunting can definitely be, you know, a lot less structured than, you know, your training or a test, and to take the time to think about certain marks and whatnot, you know, that's going to take some effort, especially in the heat of the moment and you're having fun out there hunting. I think there are several things that can happen in hunting that are you know, really good experiences for your dog and could help with training. For instance, you know, our last hunts this past weekend, you know, we're hunting with other dogs. So we had a lot of opportunities for honoring, and we had a lot of opportunities for rewarding too, with, you know, more birds in the sky and more birds landing. So, you know, got to do a little of let's be patient and watch this other dog work, and like, hey, here comes your bird, you know, and this is the one that's going to be for you. So, so there's that. And then, you know, even stuff like dove hunting and having your dog, you know, heal and wait and, you know, sit patiently, you know, that's stuff that in training, are you really going to sit on a bucket or sit with your dog at heel or in a mow marsh for 3 hours like you would on a hunt and not kill a bird, you know?
Yeah. Imagine, I mean, that's what hunt tests were. You go out and sit on a bucket for an hour and then you pack up and say, all right, you passed.
Yeah, you won. Yeah, that's, you know, just good experience that it's hard to simulate in training just because of the amount of time it would take. I mean, how boring, you know, if that's what you did. All right, guys, today is the day that we're going to sit here and pretend like we're hunting and nothing's ever going to come. We're just going to sit here, you know.
It makes me think of, you know, the judges always give you the scenario when you go to the handlers meeting. They're like, all right, well, we had a pair come in from the right. We only dropped one of them. And then we had a single come from the left and we dropped that one. And so that's going to be there. That one's going to be there. And, yeah. You know, imagine if they said, well, you know, we had a flurry come in overhead, but your buddy was shooting with a full choke and just was not hitting them. Your other buddy, you're pretty sure is half blind, and you were going to try to handle your dog. So there's no birds on this setup. You just come sit and we'll judge your line manners.
Well, you know, they say that for instance, HRC hunt tests are supposed to be similar to a real hunt. But if it was my test and I was the judge and it was like my hunts down here in South Louisiana, you would you would sit on a bucket for hours and get torn up by mosquitoes and then get in your boat and go home, you know.
Yeah, maybe a couple of dry fires for all the misses and
yeah,
pack it up.
I think there's something to be said about somebody and their dog that can sit still for that long and get eaten up by that many mosquitoes and and still live to tell the story.
Yeah, the state bird of Louisiana.
You're right. Yeah. We've talked a lot about transitioning, you know, into a hunt test season. And, you know, I think back to kind of make a point there is to have a plan. If you're wanting to get into hunt tests or back into hunt tests, know what tests are coming up. Get on Entry Express if you're an AKC person. Get on Hunt Secretary if you're a HRC person, and see what tests are coming up in your area. You know, make sure that you pay attention to when tests are opening up and when tests are closing, when their, you know, deadlines are for signing up. Depending on what level you're at, you might need to set your alarm for the day that it's opening and at that time, because sometimes they fill up in minutes, you know, depending on that level. So if that's your thing, start planning that out. Know what tests you're going to run for the year, and then break down your plan on where is your dog, assess your dog, and know what it is, where it is right now, and what and where it needs to be for those tests, and then map out your plan. You know, use your resources, use whatever books you have, use your HRC buddies, your pro trainer buddies, and come up with a plan for your dog and make that your priority and do what you need to do to reach those goals. If you're not doing hunt tests and you're just in, say, maintenance mode in the off season, come up with a plan. I'm going to train my dog X times a week to keep them in shape and to keep them on top of their game and maintained. You know, if you've spent 6, 8, 10 months 2 years training your dog before, you know, this past hunting season. You don't want to lose all that over the next 10 months before the next hunting season. So come up with a little maintenance routine. Also think about exercising your dog. You know, if your dog's used to training and working, hunting, and now you're getting into that mode where there's just a little less going on, think about how you're going to keep your dog in shape. We don't need your dog to, we don't want our dog
be your typical pet dog.
Yeah. You know, we don't want that 110-pound pet dog when next season comes around and your dog doesn't want to leave the kennel. So, you know, keep that kind of stuff in mind. Keep your dog healthy. It's a year-round, season never ends type of thing.
So. Yeah, for sure. And to kind of coincide with what you were saying about setting goals, when you're talking to your trainer buddies or your local retriever club, when you're setting your goals, you want to be able to challenge yourself, but also be realistic. Like for me, I'm not going to say I'm going to run Sailor and finish this year. I don't think she's going to be there. Now, we might alter our goals later on. You know, if she's proven me wrong and I think we might be able to squeeze out a pass, then we'll run it. But from seeing what I'm seeing now and where we're at, I'm going to say I'd like to run at least one season test. And that's going to be kind of my my reach goal in a sense. And with my lower goal being set to get that that started pass on her.
Right. Yep. Realistic goals. Couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think everybody wants to, you know, get to a certain point with their dog and, you know, they might look at a buddy's dog and, you know, try to compare, but you know, the realistic piece of it is, all dogs learn at a different rate, and you have to train the dog in front of you and set reasonable expectations.
Yep, exactly. Like I catch myself doing all the time comparing Sailor to Bonnie. It's like, well, you know, they're in two different places in training. They're kind of on two different programs here, and you know, this is what Sailor needs today, and what Sailor needs today, especially now that Bonnie's out there with Lewis, it's not going to be the same thing that Bonnie sees today.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, so
that's been a huge, you know, advantage for her that, you know, helped her out over this past month and a half. Because, you know, with my schedule and whatnot, there was no way that I was going to train her three times a day. And, you know, that's what she's getting right now. Like she might run swim by in the morning, run a hunt test set up right after that, and then a field trial set up later on in the day, you know, and that just wasn't going to happen on a Tuesday know, in the middle of December. So, yeah, that's, I think a lot of people have their dogs out of, you know, not at the trainer in the wintertime for hunting season, but you know, the guy lives 20 minutes down the road and not going to go pick her up to go hunting. So it's kind of worked out well in her favor. She's getting the training that she needs and then still get to have fun with me when I have time for her, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's definitely nice to have that resource and that opportunity just down the road. I know, like I said, we've got a pretty tight schedule right now, but I foresee in the very near future we're gonna be able to squeeze in a lot more training. So I'm really looking forward to watching that growth, because what was it, back in September or so, we got a lot of progress done in a short amount of time because we carved out a big chunk of time to work with a local pro. So I can definitely foresee Sailor making some leaps and bounds this year. So
right. Yep. I think you know, we set those goals and, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to stick to them verbatim, because, you know, different things can happen along the way, and you might, you know, have bigger goals by the end of the hunt test season, or you might have smaller goals. So it's, we constantly are flexible and kind of try to adjust, but if you set the goals and set up a plan and just grind it out, I think it usually works in your favor.
And I know we're the majority of us here are gun dog people, but you know, if you don't have the ability to put your dog on a treadmill in your garage or whatever it might be to keep them in shape, find something to keep them active and keep their brains working too, and find a way to incorporate training into that. I know a lot of lab guys, I do some of this training as well, but I've seen a lot of labs start to make that transition into shed hunting now. You know, the deer are going to start dropping sheds, and you're going to want to go out there and try to find some of them, pick them up, start collecting them. And you know, that's a good opportunity to get your dog outside, get your dog running around, get your dog picking something up and bring it back to you. I know some guys might disagree with that. We kind of touched on in the last episode, you know, tainting the nose for a different scent, but I think it's a little bit more valuable than letting your dog sit on the couch or in the kennel.
Even if you can go outside and play a little fetch or a frisbee or something like that, I think it could go a long way. Go on a jog, you know, spend some time with your dog, and, you know, keep them healthy.
Yep, exactly. So I have a question for you, John.
Sure. Shoot.
So Bonnie's gone on a couple of hunts now, right?
Right.
And she's been outfitted with that nice Rig-'em-Right vest.
Right.
So has she made that connection yet that when she puts that vest on, you know, it's time to go to work and we're about to go pick up some birds? Or do you think that connection's still kind of growing?
That's a good question. She's always kind of jacked up, you know what I mean? Like all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to tell, pretty much any time that I'm going to get her out of her kennel or crate, you know, wherever she's at, she's like ready to go. So I think just like hanging out with me is just as fun to her as anything. So I make it fun for her, you know. She likes me, so she I don't think it matters to her if we're hunting or going to train. She's, I think, equally as excited.
Got you. I know the sailor's definitely been putting two and two together. You know, if I'm waking up at 4 a.m. and, you know, getting stuff together, throwing on my camo, she's like, all right, so something's up, right? And then we get in the truck and we go for a drive and we pull up somewhere and I put that vest on her, and you can kind of see a little switch flicks, and she's like, okay, we're really about to go, you know, on a half mile walk through some flooded timber and freeze my ass off to go sit on a stand and do some bird watching, or maybe I'll get to go pick something up.
Man, that does make a good point. The packing up the car thing. Now that they know that it, they all know that. Even the puppies know if I'm packing up the car, like, oh man, we're going on a trip, you know, or we're going somewhere. We're going to do something fun. Like both of the puppies, believe it or not. So I have two kennels in the back of my SUV that I let them ride in, and they both tried to jump in the back of the kennel. I don't like them jumping, you know, at that age, especially that high. But I had to catch both of them to from jumping in the back of the kennel. And I mean, it's not a small jump either. You know, I mean, it's
no
at least 3 feet off the ground. So.
That makes me think of the other morning I had to catch Sailor midair because she tried to jump in the bed of my truck with the tailgate still up.
Yep. They pick it up quick, man. I mean, these dogs are, you know, 4 or 5 months old and figured it out. Like, we're packing up. We're going hunting, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. Did you have any more to add to this week's episode? Any more tips, any more goals, any more updates?
Man, nope. That's about it. Getting ready, you know, in addition to getting my dogs ready, and kind of settling into the new house and getting everything set up here. I'm about to have some more time for all the dogs, and so it's kind of working out for you know, with the timing of hunt test season. And I have some client dogs coming on in March, so by then a lot more stuff should be sorted out with, you know, settling in and getting stuff ready on my old house, which is being sold. So, I'm excited to have that part of my life over the moving part and the selling of the houses part.
Don't blame you.
Ready to get back to the basics a little bit here.
Yeah. Well, I think we've touched on everything I want to talk about, but hey, here's a reminder for you guys out there that if you're looking for a sign, here it is. Go clean your gun. That thing has probably been through some muddy water. You probably used it as a walking stick or used it to help you get up after you've slipped and fallen on your butt in some mud. Go clean that thing.
Man, that's a
I just
real.
cleaned mine yesterday and it was bad.
It's interesting you say that. On Sunday, when I was hunting, my gun jammed for that very reason. So we got some rim oil out after that. But I like to not get it unjammed during the hunt. So
Yep.
yep, you
You
don't
were
want to.
shooting an 870, right?
No, well, this one was it was a pump. You know, I've been trying to use my pump guns for just to kind of stay in that hunt test mode with the dogs. So I think they kind of get used to the click click, you know. Yeah, it's a little Mossberg pump gun, 12 gauge. So
Gotcha.
yeah, but next
Yep.
I think I'm gonna break out the A5 next weekend. I can't risk that thing jamming again.
Yep. Well, there you go. That's even more of a reason if you're listening to this and you haven't cleaned your gun maybe at all this season, go show it a little bit of love. You don't want to have that nice flurry of birds come in and see your spread and decide that's where they want to land and then you're the only one left without putting putting some steel down range, so.
Or tungsten.
Or tungsten, that's right. That's right. I guarantee if I was shooting tungsten, we wouldn't have missed those two birds that flew overhead this past weekend. But yeah, we were shooting steel, so we missed.
Dude, I will tell you this, like on Sunday, I did not miss. Like, and I had those tungsten shells in there. Like, man, I like. Dude,
You were
I
wearing a
like
big hat
felt,
that day.
dude. I felt like I was like I had people tell me like, "Good shot," you know, like I was like, "Hell yeah, rocking out, man!"
You felt like a kid again that just finally got the training wheels off.
Dude, I was the kid like with his BB gun shooting the Coke can for the first time. Like I felt I was high on the hog, man. So.
It's the tungsten. It's the tungsten. It's all about that TSS tungsten super slam.
I did shoot one bird, dude. That bird was still alive when it came back to me, and it was very alive. So I didn't realize how alive it was. Bonnie brought it all the way back to me. I was like, "Wow, this is like a perfect duck," you know, when I was looking at it.
Perfect.
Yeah, this is like a perfect duck, and I was like, "What did this duck just like fall because he got scared or what?" You know. Anyways, it was moving like a lot. So I was like, I'm gonna save this, you know, to play with the puppies after the hunt. And the chair that I was sitting in had like a little pouch underneath it. And so I stuck him in there for the rest of the hunt. And then he was moving around quite a bit. I could feel him. But anyway, so I didn't have it like zipped up. I just had him in there, and then I carried the chair, you know, after we were done hunting all the way back to the truck, which was, you know, a few hundred yards away, and I set it on the back of the tailgate, and I was about to get the puppies out, and I swear to God, the duck crawled out of the bag and flew away, like unscathed, like just hopped out onto the tailgate, flew away, like gone, like it wasn't
Into the sunset.
had no trouble flying whatsoever, like just booked it. And I saw the duck fly by, and I was like, wow, man, there's ducks over here too. And there was a couple of the other guys were like, hey, man, that duck just jumped out of your bag and flew away. So yeah, no practice, a lot perfect duck for the puppy. If a duck lands in the water and your dog brings it back, I don't think it can fly away. I didn't think.
Yeah, you wouldn't assume. Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We hope you're able to pull some good information from it. Hopefully you're able to enjoy our stories of our hunting escapades and you know, crazy things that happen while we're out there. But if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a rating, a review, reach out to us, let us know you enjoyed it, reach out to us and let us know you hate it and you never want us to do another episode with just us two because we're too boring and to only have guests. Just, you know, give us your input. We love hearing it. We love hearing from you guys. We definitely do this podcast not to waste our own breath, but so you guys can listen to it and enjoy it as well. So thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Operation Gundog, and we look forward to having you guys on for our next episode.